I wonder if we could sing together from Redemption Book 260, Break Thou the Bread of Life. 260. We stand to sing. I appreciate him very much. I don't think any will have any doubt that he has a calling of a teacher in his life. And from the times that I've heard our brother minister, he'll cause the word of God, which to me and to this congregation is our absolute,
amen,
to be opened in the light of the prophet's message. And every one of us will be drawn closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother David, we welcome you.
Thank you.
Take
brother.
Your liberty.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Precious Lord, we're here this morning, starting this meeting, and no doubt that there are people here that they need you. Lord, if these needs are not met, we fail somewhere. Because you love us and you die for us. Lord, we pray so that your spirit might become real to each one of us this morning. Help us, Lord, to go on with thee, Father God. Especially, Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted. Lord, souls that are wounded that we know nothing about. problems that they carry, Father God, that this world cannot solve but you. Lord, we pray so that by this service, we might narrow the gap between you and them, so that your Spirit may be manifest in each one of our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here worshiping the Lord. Appreciate Brother Cyril. We had him visiting us. And I'd like to say it's a pleasure to be here. When you come to a convention, and I haven't been in conventions for some time, because I felt sometimes it takes me too long to recover sometimes from the politics. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that after I was asked, I prayed and I felt to come here. And there's a reason. I don't know it, but God knows it. And then you consider everybody and you don't want to hurt anybody. But you don't want to compromise the Word of God by not hurting. Because I know that when we go to the hospital, if you have been to the hospital, and the doctor tried to give you an injection or something, or the nurse, if you have been vaccinated or whatever it is, what happens, they don't see the present pain. They see what consequences you can avoid by doing that. So when we approach the Word of God, I know there are many doctrines flying around back and forth, but I have one doctrine, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's like a camera. When you focus what you want to see, you see only Christ, His Word. Sometimes people feel that revelation is something that you pull it out of your pocket. And I was born in Greece, and I use some Greek words sometimes, so bear with me, because it makes it a little more plain for me. Revelation is not something that you dream about. Revelation has to have somewhere to stand. It comes from the word apocalypse. Kalipto means I put a veil. And the removal of the veil is revelation. Remember, revelation doesn't add anything or take away from the content. This is stable. It's always stable. And if somebody has a revelation from one verse and disagrees with the other, there's something wrong. Am I right? So by looking today, I'd like to probably introduce myself for about three, four minutes, so I can cut down the commercials. I was born in Athens, Greece. That's where I finished my college work. And then I went to Southern Cal College in California, and then where I met my wife, Polly. Of course, after that, I went to other universities, University of San Francisco State, Arizona State University. I was teaching there, 47,000 students. And I like to say, it's a privilege to know God. God calls you, you don't make yourself. And I'm not here because of a job either, but because God calls. I appreciate Brother Ojo. I'm looking forward to hear him preaching. I teach him too much, and I love the brother, and I like for him to preach to me tonight. Remember what I said, to preach to me. It's me that needs the Lord, you know. I'm just wondering if we can do some kind of an overview today. When I say an overview, I'm talking about see Jesus Christ through the ages and establish some kind of a criteria who Jesus is. People think Jesus was somebody down there in the road in Jericho, and he wasn't in the Old Testament, but it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Am I right? It's the same God. Some of us feel one way or another. But keep your focus on Jesus. Never let your eyes away from Calvary. Never let your eyes away from Acts 2, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Stay with it. An old man one time in Topanga Canyon, California, where I used to live, I used to know an old Greek man. He worked very hard as a shoe cobbler. He had a store on Lacrosse Boulevard, right a little bit north of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the the movie producing studio there. So I was visiting him many times, and he got such a love of God, so simple man. He gave me his little Greek Bible that he was reading. And I'm reading that many times. I keep it in my car. The man is dead now. He got such a love of God that attracted some of the greatest people in Hollywood. Marilyn Monroe, Frank Sinatra, all of them stopped by him to say, "Good morning, Jack," in an old dirty floor. And he used to tell me, he says, "David, if you can't build, don't destroy."
Amen.
You think of that. You know, if you can't build, don't destroy. And you know, if we use that criteria and we say, now, I want to build something for the Lord, for His people. And I remember instances what God has done in this marvelous life of that man. They had a big article at a Businessman's Voice, and when he died, I think there was about 120 cars, limousines, going around to say goodbye to Jack. And they said, "Jack is gone, where do we go now? But I'm thankful to the Lord that Jesus is alive."
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
And I can go always to Him, and He's the same.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jack one time, I'll say that to illustrate. Jack one time, I took the old man from Hollywood and took him down to Malibu Beach. It's a beach area. There's a hotel, a little swimming pool right next to the water to take a little rest over 75, 76 years old. That's a pretty old man. But when I took him down there, I helped him move his suitcases in the room. He went over and sat down in the corner of the swimming pool. There was a young lady there. She was about naked, you know, a two-piece suit there. And he got a parrot, a little bird, the simplicity of the gospel. A little parrot and his son, a teenager son. His mother was dead, and he was trying to be a mother and a father to that boy. And he was trying to teach that bird, cast words. And the bird didn't say anything. And the boy got upset, and I was there at that time. He took that cage, threw it in the middle of the living room. Water seeds all over the place. Jack picks up the bird, says, "God bless you, pal." The bird says, "God bless you." And that girl was sitting there naked just about, and Jack was sitting in the corner, and the bird whistled. He said. She looked around, and she turned her face, the bird whistled again. I don't know how to whistle, you can tell by now. And she turns around, and she starts chewing up Jack, "Dirty old man," she said to him. And the bird whistled back to her, and she looks at the bird. The bird says, "God bless you." And Jack, I was unloading the things yet, you know, and the thing was going on. And Jack all of a sudden started talking to her about the Lord, and he led her to Christ. Naked in that swimming pool. Simplicity of the gospel.
Amen.
We complicate ourselves with doctrines. Some of them are true, most of them are false. It's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Because if Christ is not there, it is false. If Christ is not exalted, it is false. If souls are not saved, it is false. So, by looking at these examples, I'd like probably to give that overview of Christ in the next 40 minutes, 45. We'll look at the life of Abraham. Abraham, a man that had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the promised son. And in Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, "Take thy son, thy only son." I'm afraid sometimes we've got too many Ishmaelites, and they'll find someday that there are few sons of God. So Abraham said to his, God spoke to Abraham, and he says, "Abraham, take thy only son." And we know the story all the way down that the conversation between Abraham and his son. Okay. The Abraham and his son, there was going back and forth. The son asked, "Father, here's the wood. Here's the altar. Where is the lamb? I thought he was the one. Abraham dragged him up there, and he says, now, listen, he says, the Lord will provide. Sounds like a lie, because he had the sacrifice. God said, here is the sacrifice, which is, you know, Isaac. But you know something? God could never accept a human sacrifice because it was polluted. Back from Adam. I don't have time to go back to the creation, but you remember God cursed the ground. Adam and Eve were in a mess. The only thing was left the animal kingdom to bring these animals to cover sin, but not to forgive sin. The difference between covering and forgiveness, when God forgives you, He doesn't remember it anymore. I can be upset with Brother Ojar. I pick on him again. He can be upset with me. He can punch me in the nose. And he said, later on, he might say, Brother David, I forgive you. But you remember, you know something? I'll still remember it. But God says, your sins and iniquities. Amen.
Praise God.
He said right in Hebrews 10. I'll remember them no more. So now we're moving. We're moving to see a promise. God doesn't do things by accident. God knew the beginning from the end of it and from the beginning. He knew everything. And Abraham promised to God that he would sacrifice that boy, and because he obeyed in Genesis 22, God said to him now, and he says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy only son, remember that only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And he continues, he's saying, thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Listen to the next verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was you and I right there. To study. God knew Israel, and he goes to the book of Corinthians, and he says, they are only an example to you. Don't do what they did. They murmur, we're doing this today. We have everything. We have the Word of God. We have tapes. Everything is still fussing. Israel had the manna, had the pillar of fire, had everything. They were still fussing. The warning was, be careful. And now that son that we see, that seed that we were promised, if you go to Galatians 3:8, it says that seed is Christ. Am I right?
Amen.
That seed is Christ. No seeds, but seed, which is Christ. That promise was given way back there. Israel, all the tabernacles, all the vessels and everything that they had moved back and forth. That they sometimes the tabernacle, we know that's an image of the heavenly. They'll move it around, and the vessels and so on. Everything meant something. It's the Word of God. And no matter how significant is the verse, there's a meaning to it. I don't understand that because you and I are so human. God sometimes will speak to you through a verse. And you look at this verse and you say now, praise God, I rejoice and so on. You get a blessing, you think you're exhausted. 6 months later, you go back to the same verse and God speaks to you in another way. Because that word is eternal. It cannot die. It cannot be exhausted. It's there. Remember, we're doing an overview this morning. So that seed came down. Christ Jesus. He got no place to be born. You know that? Everybody waited for the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, they didn't want him. Or they don't look for something like that. Today, Christmas time, everybody puts a Christmas tree in the bars and the restaurants and everything. They welcome Jesus, but you try to go by the gospel, they don't want it. They just want the Christmas tree of Jesus. They want the gifts of that. And now we see that Christ came down and he came as Mr. Nothing. He had no place to lay his head. Where he was sleeping, somewhere in the ditches, under somewhere, behind a barn somewhere. We have everything. I'm afraid sometimes you have nothing. We lost the values of appreciation. We put a little circle around ourselves and we live for ourselves. If I don't like it, I don't want it. If I, that big I. You haven't been to Calvary to die. So now Jesus comes. And just remember, in that body that you see walking in Jerusalem, it was me and you. That's my sacrifice. That's Calvary. In that body was you and I before the foundation of the world. He knew who he was going to die for. And the scripture says he took our sins in the body of his flesh. What about that? In the body of his flesh, he comes, start walking here. They want to make him a king, he runs away. The multitudes runs out. He didn't build a big tabernacle. Always nothing. The Apostle Paul saw that. And remember, sometimes you read a verse and we don't realize what we read. But Paul saw that condition and he wrote something in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says, which none of the princes of the world knew, for they had known him, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But I'm glad that they didn't know him and crucify him, because I was in him. You see, Christ just didn't die. He died and I was in him. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I live, I don't live anymore, but Christ liveth with me, in me. So by looking at the cross and Christ there, you know, it's not that you believe on the cross, believe in the message, but the question is, have you been with Jesus at the cross? Are you dead? That's painful, you know that? That's real. Now that's Jesus. He hid himself from everything. You say, Brother David, I'm looking at the same time to find a scripture. He says, Brother David, what are you talking about? He hid himself. He hid himself so he will not be known. What was it, Bobby? Raggedy clothes. You look him out of the street, the ugliest man that you can see. The scripture says there was no beauty that can be desired in him. But in him was you and I. Am I right? In him was you and I, and he was hiding. What about if they had a little revelation? And the revelation will say, now, don't kill him. Paul says, Peter said one time to Jesus, he says, Jesus, we don't want you to suffer. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? He came to die to be my sacrifice and your sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. Demons knew it. Demons knew it. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Many places because he rebuked them. And remember, these demons were in the synagogues. When you go home, read Mark, the first chapter. Don't look for the devil outside. Look for Judas inside. But now here he said he rebuked them. The word epitimo, timi is an axia, the value. The value of it. Epitimo is I remove every value that you got. With other words, you cannot cash the goods that you claim. If I give you a fake dollar, it's no good. And Jesus rebuked them because the demons want to make him known while the disciples were cross-eyed and says, who do you think that I am? And the demons talked to him in Mark 1. People think you just got a revelation and you made it in heaven. If you haven't died with Christ on the cross, you go to hell. That's a mouthful. I mean the message. That doesn't save you. That's just knowledge. The thing is, have you been dead with Christ? Have you been crucified with Christ? So now Jesus of Nazareth will see that the time has come. He went to the cross, down the Via Dolorosa. Mock him. Who is he? God. Not a God, but God.
Amen.
Not another man, but God.
Amen.
But that Jesus now started walking on Via Dolorosa down, carrying that bumpity bumpity cross. But in that body was you and I.
Amen.
You think of that. In that body, that's the only way of salvation. People say, I got the revelation of the 7 seals, the 8 seals, the 10 seals. Without being in Christ, you're lost. Period. Remission of sin demands blood. But there's no other blood that is pure except the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To me, he's the same Jesus before 63 and after 63. It's hurting, but it's true. So now that Jesus started making his will, and his will, he approached right John the beloved. He started talking about the promises. He says this, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. Just remember the word comforter. He may be abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That will dwell in you, shall be in you. All these are the promises. Am I right?
Hallelujah.
But remember, some people are confused. Oh, they say, Mary got the Holy Ghost without sensation. I got news for you. You're upside down. Because I agree if we say that I don't generate sensation for the Holy Ghost, but I don't restrict sensation when you get the Holy Ghost either. Because in Acts 2, there were a bunch of drunks, one like that. And Acts 2 is not true. But now he makes his promises. Now what did he say? He said unto the 16th chapter of John, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it's expediently for you I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He will not come. He wasn't there. But Mary got the Holy Ghost by sensation. We are talking about the Comforter, the evidence of the resurrection. So now we have a sacrifice. Abel had a sacrifice. Cain had a sacrifice. Am I right? What you do and what I do is not what God says. It takes God to say, this I accept, this I reject. That Holy Ghost, when he came down, it came down in the day of Pentecost. You know what it was? The evidence of the sacrifice of Calvary has been accepted by the right hand of God.
Amen.
That's it. Too much claims, right and left. I got the Holy Ghost. How do you know? I believe in the message. The devil believes in the message. The devil had the revelation of Jesus. I can take you through the devil's operations. He said one time, he says, why did you come to torment us before our time? There's no time. They're no more than you and I. Serious, isn't it? Let me pick up that comforter for a minute. A comforter is not somebody that puts his arm around. He says, I love you. Just don't worry. Everything's okay. Don't cry. A little handkerchief. Wipe your ears and comb your hair. You're okay. No, it isn't. This is the word parakletos. Klesis is a court case. But, excuse me. Parakletos is he that stands in the court case for you.
Amen.
What did you say? All of a sudden, he rose up. He went to the cross. He died. What did Paul say? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm buried with Jesus. Am I right?
Amen.
Did he say that or not? He says, I rose up with Jesus. And now he gets the Holy Ghost. What is it? He says, now I got a defender at the court of justice that I can never lose a case. Why? My attorney that stands for me is the same Jesus that died for me, is the same Jehovah. There's no way for me to lose a case, so I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. You follow me?
Amen.
We're making an overview right now. What is the Holy Ghost? People say, I believe in a message. The devil believes it. What is the Holy Ghost? It's an individual experience that you are in the body of Christ. And Christ said that you are in Him, and He defends you at the court of justice there. That throws out every definition. Am I right? Now, that Holy Spirit makes you believe the Word. But remember, by believing the Word, believing in Jesus doesn't even mean sometimes that you are saved. Wow. John 8. The 31st verse. And Jesus said to those Jews which believe on Him. These people believe on Jesus. If you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed. And all of a sudden, they start fussing. We are Abraham's seed. Sure, you're Abraham's seed. Jesus says, I know that you're Abraham's seed. Jesus calls them Ishmaelites. They didn't even know it. And He says, you seek to kill Me. You seek to kill Me, He said to them. And He said to them in the same chapter, you have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you do. Who are they? The ones that believe on Him. You try to figure that out. What we think believe and what God's faith is another thing. Paul says, I believe, he says, it's His faith in me. It's not my faith that, praise God, I love the prophet, I went fishing and hunting. Forget it, Mr. Judas. Talk to me about the Jesus of William Branham. That's true. Seems to me so many hitchhikers anymore in the States. I knew the prophet. And I look at these people never existed when Brother Branham was around. They used to come to a meeting, that's all they knew. But what about the Jesus of the prophet? That's the salvation, isn't it? So now today, if you have the Holy Ghost, God confirms your salvation that you were in Him, and He confirms in that Spirit that He stands there on the right hand of God. And He says, I'm your attorney. I'm your paraclete. Paraclesis, clesis is a court case. Paraclesis, stand by. I'm standing by you, for you, by you, to defend you in the judgment of God. I got a court, you got a court, he got a court. You ask me that I say, cross eye. You ask me how you receive the Holy Ghost, boom, I get a message. What this has to do with it? Go back to the Word. Am I right? So now, in the day of Pentecost, when that Spirit came to a few people who were sitting in the upper room, they all knew one thing, to obey His Word and go there. The Scripture says He gave the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Amen?
Amen.
God doesn't put His Spirit in an unclean vessel. It's against His Word. We don't like that. I had somebody telling me, Brother Gordon, my wife knows, and they said, I got the Holy Ghost, praise God, wearing shorts and everything, you know. I think when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you don't have to claim anything. Your life is going to show it. And sooner or later, if you don't have it, your life is going to show it. Am I right? Because that defender of the court of justice, that paraclete, stands and tells you, David Mamelis, that's wrong. Gets you up. My brother, my sister, I did this, I offended that. God, give me repentance, but you cannot have repentance unless God gives it to you. It's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. You can stand cross-eyed in the front of the problem. You know you're wrong. But the gap between you and repentance is as far as heaven from hell sometimes. Because it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Once that you experience the cross of Calvary, once that you are dead with Christ, once that you are filled with the Spirit, you keep on moving. Brother Brown spoke about that in the Philadelphia church age. He said some of these people at the time of Wesley mocked it. They laughed with it. And they were sealed out. Do you know what's blasphemy? It's not say cast words. Not at all. Comes from blasphemia. Vlato means I destroy. Phi means the fame. I destroy the function or the reputation of what the Holy Ghost is doing. That's why I stay away from saying one word or cooperate with one word that has to do with the function of the Holy Ghost that's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stay out. People are sealed and they don't even know it. It's fearful, isn't it? No matter how much you're in the message, friends, one word, the Scripture says, not in this world, neither in the world to come. That's powerful, isn't it? And today we mock everything. I see the charismatics. I don't have any problems with the charismatics. You know why? Because I see them in the Word. He said, poor Brother David, I see them in Acts 2. Listen to the Acts 2, the 17th chapter. And Jesus shall come to pass, Acts 2, 17 verse, and shall come to pass, in the last day, said the Lord, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. They have it, dancing in the Spirit, shorts, naked, go. On the following verse, and in my slaves, not servants, slaves, doulos, in my servants, in my handmaids, I will pour my Spirit in those days, the same day, said the Lord. The rain falls for the just and the unjust. Silence, but it's true. So now I start looking there, and I says, Lord, what is the Holy Ghost? How can I get it? I go there to the altar. I cry. I say, God, give me the Holy Ghost. The pastor says, you got it because you believe in the message, but you know you don't have it. Am I right? It takes an experience. It takes salvation first. It takes the formula. Repent, number one, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Correct? We don't want repentance. We threw it out of the door. What is it? Accept the message. That's not repentance. You can deprogram somebody to believe everything you believe, have long hair, the women, the men like gentle, very nice, God bless you, and pay their tithing. That doesn't mean they are saved. If they haven't repented and go to Calvary, they are lost. They're gone. So he says, repent. What Peter says. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall, not perhaps. I says, is this true? But this happened in Acts 2. Listen to the rest of it. For the promise unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call. You say, now in this message, you don't need the Holy Ghost. It's because you haven't been called. You can be the greatest preacher, this verse stands. I don't care who you are. I don't know if I'm too hard or what. It's getting to silence here. But that's true, isn't it? That's true, isn't it? How much church you play? You know, I look at the last age, the Laodicean church age. Lord, what's going on? Everybody got a brainstorm. The Jesus of the cross, nobody cares about him. And what happens in Laodicean churches, he says, if any man, we don't like that, we blame everybody else, but not me. They are no good. They do this, they do that. What about you? The responsibility is based on you if you came out. We blame anybody else. We don't like to hear that. If any man, we don't like to hear to them that I love, I rebuke and chasten. We don't like the rebuke. Who cares about the cross? Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. We don't like Calvary. As long as we get flattered, we are the best members. As long as we are not, something is missing probably. The flattering might be missing. But how many of us we love to embrace our Judas like Jesus did, and he says, follow me. We don't like the Judas we ran away from. God's word is true, friends. Amen. But listen, I continue now. I bypass the loss, but I continue. So you say, Brother David, I'm not afraid to preach any verse, and I'm not preaching against anybody but the Word of God. You know that? You say, Brother David, you said that you have been called far off. No limitation of time, no limitation of distance, no limitation of church ages, as many as the Lord God has called. So the Holy Ghost is for today. Somebody says, cross tie, this and this and that, you know, we don't believe anymore. We got the message, and Brother Brown says, go back to get the Holy Ghost. You haven't been sealed. Once and I brought this up, let me go to something. Now put your weather jackets because you're going to get it. And I'm going to get it, brother. Brother Roger looks at me down there. That's what he's going to do now. Ephesians. Let me give you a formula. Have you ever been to school? And it says 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 3 equals 5. Ephesians, the first chapter, gives us a formula there. That formula says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, even in Him. What do you say? In the dispensation, not dispensations, plural. Wow. Silence now. But the Word is the Word. Am I right? What is Brother David at? It's not business. Some hybrid theologians wrote that stuff. But you know what it is? Ecos and nomos. Ecos is the household. Nomos is the law that governs them. You see what this means? I didn't want to get into it, but might as well learn it, might as well swim. Go with me for a minute to Hebrews and you'll see what it is. Listen very close now in Hebrews, the third chapter, the fourth verse. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things, of which things? Which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. You are the house, and his whose house are we? We are the house of God. We are the dispensation of God, only one. And who is the law? God's Word. I'm a Jehovah Witness or Seventh-day Adventist. I believe in one Jehovah, one God. Let me tell you something. When Jesus came down to this earth, He didn't break one word of the Old Testament. He didn't change it. He says, now or not, forget about that. No. Fulfill every comma. And read it with me now. I'm going to the formula of the Holy Ghost. And He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, plural times, different churches, different periods of time, under one headship, one building, one body of Christ, one director, Jesus Christ, never change. One Holy Ghost. What's the matter with us sometimes? We want this. Somebody says, come and take this, leave that away. They took my Jesus and cut Him in two and give me half of it before 63 and half of it after 63. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Period. Why? Because of immorality. They don't suit them. The doctrine of marriage and divorce before 63. But the Word of God says it's good all the time. Am I right? We don't like it. Probably you won't have me back. That's all right with me. That's the Word of God. I'll face you in that day. Amen. That's the Word of God. Friends, if in 5-10 minutes from now, I will meet my Lord and you are there, I'll preach you the same thing. Compromise here, compromise there. Listen to what He says here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, different times, what He's going to do, He might gather in one all things where? In Christ. You go back all the way down to the Old Testament. When Jesus died, I wish if I can preach, so that I'm in prison. You crawl under your benches. Back from there, the whole thing, he gathers it together in one place in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the Word. You say, what about the message, the revelation of what's here? Am I right? And now that you see that Jesus standing, listen to what he says, in whom have obtained the inheritance, continue with me, for the 12th verse, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now listen to the formula. Whom he also trusted after you heard the word of truth. First of all, you hear the word. Am I right? What do you do next? Listen to what he says. The gospel of your salvation. One gospel. Paul says many, many times, and preach you another gospel, let him be a curse. Amen. William Branham preached the same gospel of Paul, but the people don't like it. Listen to what he says. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, not before nor at the same time, after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe in the message? That's a powerful statement to make, isn't it? Devils believe, friends, but we are coming to the end. We are coming to the end that the people are holding for anything. Tell me something new. I'm dizzy. There's nothing new. Now, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. A man said to me, Brother David, if the rapture comes, you've got to know the thunders to understand it. To get raptured in faith, I agree with the statement. I want to answer you something. I have a revelation of that. Tell me, what is it? If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, I'll tell you where I go. Am I right? That's what it is. He says, you can't deny the word. I said, now that rapture in faith, somewhere has to put you dead to Christ before it raises you up again. I said, have you met Jesus at the cross? You want me to continue or close? 10 minutes? I think I already have 35 minutes now. Let's do something that's very simple, but complicates people. Simple. You know, the people are so complicated, they don't even know the simplicity of the gospel. Last summer, Brother Billy Anderson and I were teaming together with a youth camp. Brother Gordon was there. My wife. The Spirit of the Lord was moving so much that we didn't know what we were doing. Billy says, David, I have been 22 years in tents and everything. I've never seen anything like that. I saw a young lady there. It was 24 hours. 3 o'clock in the morning, these kids, they wouldn't leave the altar with 300 kids. All during the night, groups were there. The counselors came to pick up 2 girls from the back of that old tent, raggedy tent. They came over to pick them up and took. He says, you better go to your cabin. It's about 5 minutes walking distance. He took them over there. He comes back on his rounds that he was checking around, and these 2 girls was back there. He says, what do you do here? He says, that's where God moves. 3 a.m. They had a baptism service of about 30 young kids, 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 a.m. in the leg that was next door. And I saw a young lady that was probably one of the most beautiful young ladies that I have seen. I left to take Billy back to the motel about 11:30 at night. I saw a young lady sitting down. It was grass. Her face was against that grass like that, crying. I went close like a hypocrite to listen. She says, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. She was crying to God. I came back in 2 hours, about 2 o'clock. She was still there. After that, she got up. Her eyes, you can see only her eyes. The rest of it was mud from her tears. She wasn't just accepting, she was repenting. She wasn't just hallelujahing around. She wasn't the one that fixed Brother Brown's breakfast for going hunting. No, not that stuff. She was down in her face before God. It's beautiful, isn't it? To see the real thing. I saw Brother Gordon was sitting there on the platform. I was a little kid with a guitar, electric guitar, was putting some chords, rock and roll going or something. I don't know what the kid was doing. The Spirit of the Lord started moving. You see him dropping the guitar. He'd left it on the side, falling his knees. The rest of the kids prayed for him until he got saved. Was sitting there. I felt restless. I said, probably I'm hot. I was praying all with these kids. And a little teeny kid, a little girl, that big, some of the young ladies were praising God and were going like that. I said, they were going so close to her, never stop, step on her. I said, I better move her or do something with that kid. I went close to listen. She says, Jesus, forgive my sins, 5-year-old girl. That's what we need. That's what we need. I was so restless. The tent, the sides of the tents, I don't know how you call them, flaps or what, buckles, mind know. They were lifted up, and I was so restless, and the kids were praying the front, who had to move benches, and the thing was going. Billy was sweating outside. He says, I got to go home. I never seen anything like that before. He didn't know what was that. So I just walked down there, and I sit on the bench. I put my head. I wasn't praying. I said, what am I doing? I feel like dizzy, or I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I better get out of here to get some fresh air. So from the last three benches, four benches there, I just try to go out. A little teeny girl, she comes to me. Brother David. I said, I look behind me. What can I do for you? She said to me, there's a lady back there. She needs to get saved. She wants to get saved. I told her everything that I know, and I don't know what to do. I said, praise God. The Holy Ghost upon a little kid leading a preacher to a soul. Why that Jesus of Nazareth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus of Nazareth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there are very, very few that experience the cross of Calvary. You're talking about dead to Christ, to the world, things of the world. You have to tell them, make sure your skirt is long enough. Make sure you do this. You know what? You need to die to Christ. A great life to read sometimes. I mentioned this. I'll probably refer to one more verse and close. Great life to read is Madame Gagnon. Affected the lives of Fenelon, Andrew, Mary, Ken Lewis, all these people. Gagnon was a beautiful woman. She had lots of money. She lived in Paris in the 1600s. The Lord started dealing with His Word. And Gagnon says, I know God is dealing with me. I know that I'm a beautiful woman. I know I'm sitting in the front of that mirror adoring myself and preparing myself to go out to be looked by man. So I need God. She says, the Scripture says, if that eye don't offend you, plug it out. She took a spoon, tried to plug her eye out. She said, I can't do that. Suffer. But you know what? Christ is leading you, when the Holy Ghost in you leads you as a divine undertaker to your own grave to die to the world and things of the world, you have no hope. You're just hopeless until He gives you the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Gagnon was praying and fasting. He says, God of heaven, help me, God of heaven. All of a sudden, smallpox struck her. Her face was deteriorating. The doctors came around. She got plenty of money. She sit there. The time that she was able to sit on the bed, she started reading her Bible again, going back and forth. The doctors come around and says, Miss Gagnon, we're here to help you, take care of you. Gagnon says, no. Give me a mirror. What for? I want to see the beautiful work that God has done. Where is the Gagnon today? Where is the Fenelons of today? Where are they? Has the cross of Christ deteriorated? Is the blood of Christ no good anymore? Is the Holy Ghost gone anymore?
it has been blasphemed. It's outside of the door of the people of the message in order to come in. Try to shake hands with somebody outside of the church. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, we're in the message. Fine, go. Let me close with something. I haven't even looked at my outline, so I might as well forget it and close with one verse, okay? Sometimes we wrestle with big revelations. But you know where you find ourselves? We find ourselves in trouble because we don't take the warning of God. The gospel is simple. Brotherly love is simple. But the wolves are all around. The gospel is simple. Listen to the simplicity of the gospel now. God gives you some instructions. If somebody puts a sign in that river and says, don't go this way, and you drive through and you fall in the river, it's your problem. Am I right? You don't heed the signs. There are two places in the New Testament that the word Laodicea appears. Laodicea comes from the word Laodike, was a queen, a ruler's wife. They named the city after Laodike. That's where the big school of medicine was and so on. That's history. We don't want to spend too much time with that. It appears in the Revelation 3. That says, come out. Am I right? And what did he say there? He says, here I'm standing on the door and knock. Forget the Sunday school kids who have a picture of Christ knocking on the door. It's the door of you and I.
Amen.
And he's trying to get in.
Amen.
But we've got so many things supernatural that we think they're right that we don't know what we're talking about sometimes. We cover ignorance sometimes by quoting a few Greek words. That's powerful, but it's true. Now, the Laodiceans, we know the message, but Paul knew the spirit of the Laodicean. That city. He knew it. And what did he say? After, in Colossians, the first chapter, when he was talking, looking their condition in the first, he says, I suffer for you in the Laodicea in the first chapter, in the second chapter of the first verse. And then start giving a revelation of Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth the fullness of the divine nature bodily. You see, Brother Dave, divine nature, I thought it was the him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. No, it's the divine nature. You don't have two heads. You check in the Greek and you'll find it. It's only one God. He continues to that. He says, let no man, after he finishes that, on the 18th verse, let no man beguile you, your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels. What? Remember, we have one high priest today. That's Jesus Christ. We have a prophet points us to him. We don't have two high priests.
Amen.
Silence, eh? But it's true.
Amen.
One high priest. And worshipping of angels, intruding unto those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. Wow. You talk about the condition of the message, that's it. He tells us, don't do it. We do it. Everybody wants to break the seventh seal. To me, the seventh seal, when the prophets are silenced, I take it, revelation is silence. There are things there, it's none of my business. They're in the rapture, nobody's supposed to know, and so on and so on. I leave it alone. But everybody wants to break it. They get a brainstorm, screams, people follow you. Closing. Do you have 5 minutes, brother? Probably if I mention that, probably you're shaking your chair, but I'll do it because I don't worry. I see Jesus Christ all over. You know that? So we don't have any problems to somebody do that. I will read you from the Greek and translate it to you. Revelation 10:7. Everybody's shaking now. What are you going to do with it? The Word of God should never be afraid of the Word of God. You know that? Just look straight to it. Alentesimeres tis phonis tu evdomu angelou. But in the days of the seventh angel, of the voice of the seventh angel. in the days, the period of time. Am I right?
Yes, brother.
The period of time of the great Alexander, the period of time of my time, your time, and so on, of the seventh angel, that's the same angel of Revelation 3. You agree with me?
Amen.
Not voices. Too many people want to be the voices today, but God had one voice in the last days to reveal His word. Every preacher, he says, I've got so many people follow me, I'm the voice. You're nothing. The scripture is a singular tense, and it stands. In the period of time, not in the life of the prophet, but in the days of the voice, not in the days of the life, the prophet died in 65, the message lives today.
Amen.
You agree? Αλλήν τη ημέρα τη φωνή του Ευρωμαγγελά, in the days of the seventh angel, όταν μέλησε αλπίζει, when he's about to trumpet. Remember, he speaks about a voice, speaks about trumpeting. Both of them are phonetic. You go to the life of Brother Branham, started when his ministry, the early 40s, am I right? When did the audio start to be developed? The early 40s. That's when they had the wire recorders and everything. And everything was recorded to fulfill that verse so you and I can hear it.
Amen.
You hear the voice.
Amen.
You agree with me?
Yes.
You hear it. You say, Brother David, that's an accident. No, it's not an accident. Because it's in the days of the voice, you can hear the voice. The prophet is dead, but the voice lives.
Yes.
Of the seventh angel. Angel, you know, somebody that flaps his wings and runs around. No. Comes from the verb agelo, who means I got a message. The seventh messenger.
Amen.
When he's about to trumpet that, remember, now listen to this. And a telesti to mysterion to Theou, and the mystery of God comes to its end. Now you watch. People say the prophet had the mystery in his pocket and he came to the scene and he pulled it up out and he revealed it. No, it wasn't like that. Listen to this. Brother Branham writes in the breach, first seal, I'm sorry. Oh, it's a great plan until it comes to the last angel. Now he has no certain mystery. He has no certain mystery. Why? Because the same revelation of Jesus Christ that travels all the way through. Now he stops here. He says, this sign was done to the Jew. Was done to the Samaritan, but never to the Gentile. And that same spirit that dwells in William Branham dwells in you. Am I right?
Amen.
What's the problem? This verse is the mystery should be terminated. The people have made it more of a mystery than ever before. Bunch of hybrids. Now, listen to the instructions. As Ως ευαγγέλισεν στου αυτού δούλους τους προφήτες, as he has evangelized to his slaves, the prophets, plural tense. What did he tell you? If you want to know the ministry of Revelation 10:7, you better go back to the prophets. That throws out 63 out of the window. Don't let me get to the first part of that. You might be running out before time. He says here, as he was evangelized, evangelo, agelos is announced, ev is good. The good news of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, friends.
Hallelujah.
And he said to me, if you want to know what happened, he says, you go back and see as he was evangelized, I gave the good news to his slaves, the prophets. So what I'm doing? All of a sudden, I'm going back to Paul. Go back to Paul.
Amen.
But people don't want to go before 63. Because somebody peeled their brain. Brother Brown never said not to go before 63. To nobody. Except a bunch of hybrids of this message did it. I'm too hard. I better soft. I pick a parable and say amen and close. Because I think I'm getting to things that I should keep them to myself. What is the problem? In the days of the voice lives today. Of the seventh angel? Yeah?
What is a mystery? Something that you cannot figure out. You need a revelation to do it. What am I supposed to do, Lord? He says, you just go back. As it was evangelized, took his servants, the prophets. What Brother Branham says, I'll preach every word that Paul preached. Am I right?
Amen.
The people don't like it. You know why? They don't like the cross. They hate Pentecost. I don't care the statue of the preacher. If he doesn't believe in Acts 2, he's out for me. He's not of God. It's beautiful, the Word of God, isn't it? They took about Jesus, they put him before 63, after 63. Everybody got a revelation, everybody got a brainstorm. Their children need to get saved. Their children, the souls are dying. Why? What happened, you know? The spirits fall upon one another. They don't realize that somebody's spirit can fall upon you. A man said to me one time, he said, Brother David, he said, we've got a church and we're going to move it to your area. I says, don't. He said to me, why? I says, no, no, from God. He says, God tells you? I says, just that's what his word says. God deals with individuals. If you bring a group, it's not of God. Sometimes we move by groups. You know that? Learn to be alone with Jesus. Learn to walk alone with God. I promise you, I'll close. I'll just wrap up my outline. I got up this morning and did this outline, so I thought I'd like to read you my first last page. I'd like to say, I'm crucified together with Christ according to Galatians 2:20. That's before 1963. Number two, I died together with Christ, Colossians 2:20, from the word Epiphany. That's before 63. I was buried together with Christ, Romans 6:4, Cenotaphime, before 63. I raised together with Christ, Colossians 3:1, before 63. I suffered together with Christ, Romans 8:17, and I'm still suffering. That's before 63. I'm one of the Acts 2:39 that they promised unto you and to your children. I have been glorified with Christ according to Romans 8:17, Synagogue says. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The same God.
Amen.
You know, the same Jesus, the same God. Friends, I hope you got something this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
At least something to think about. Before I close, I'd like to pray. Now, let's bow our heads for a minute. Close your eyes. I'm just wondering, if you are here, you are a Christian or not a Christian, doesn't make any difference. But you see Calvary marked more clear than ever before. You go to march toward that direction. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Raise your hand and I'll pray the last prayer all over. God bless you. God bless you. We just have a prayer. I'm not going to have an altar call, just a prayer. Anybody else here? Hands are all over. Amen. Amen. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have no change. But we'll make a mess out of it. Help us, Lord, to view the cross of Calvary this day. Help us, Lord, to see what Revelation 10:7 said as it was evangelized to your slaves, the prophets. God of heaven, that's a big statement, but it's true. I pray, Lord, for these people here this morning. Is anybody, Lord, that doesn't know how to approach the issue? Lord Jesus, open your arms to that soul. Bring them close to you, Father God. Souls are dying. The falling away is great. But Lord Jesus, You're the one that controls the whole thing this day. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless the ministers of this church. Ministers from all over, different parts of the world. God of heaven, bless each one of them, Lord. Help them. Talk to the reality of Jesus Christ. Lord, the young people that have been pushed around and don't know where they fit anymore. Lord, open your arms to them. Hold them, Jesus. The world is ready for them. But Lord, they cannot have them because it's yours. They are yours. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for what you have permitted in our lives this day. Forgive me first, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see your word. Thank you for what you have done in this last day. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was good to be here this morning. I believe that God dealt with some people. I really believe that. When Brother Searle was over in Phoenix, I gave him a concordance printed in the 1800s. I said, take this, Brother Searle. I opened it today. There was an old saying that I cannot deny from reading these three words that was in there. I started looking at it. It says this. The man that owned it was 1800. Seek the truth. Come where it will. Cost what it may. You think of that. Cost what it may. Your pride, yourself, your anything. Throw it out. Follow Jesus. Amen. Verse 0.